Well, welcome to the Wheat in the Chaff. I am Travis.
And I'm Ryan.
And we are here today having some good times. And I've got, as we so often try to do, a surprise topic for you today.
Travis likes to bring out the surprise topics.
I know how happy they make you.
They do make me happy. I really like the surprise ones.
So just to kind of capture how our morning here and our prep work has been, we have so far talked about Ed Yun's basketball court in his church stage, watching Ed Yun try to play basketball while preaching, which was a fail.
Like, bad.
Yeah.
My six-year-old could probably whoop him in basketball.
Yeah. So we've spent the morning kind of getting ourselves into a good snarky zone for this one. And I feel like this is appropriate. Oh, we also, I had to show Ryan the poor video of Jeb Bush begging his people to clap at the end of his speech because he got a rousing speech going and then nothing happened. And he's like, please clap.
Please clap for me.
Yeah.
I need affirmation.
This is the high quality content that that we deliver to you on a regular basis for all of our listeners. But today's topic needs this. It needs this level of snark for us to be able to take on what I'm burning for you today.
Which is this.
We have, in the past couple of weeks, had an Instagram account pop up. I don't know if you are aware of it. I don't know if you have followed it.
I know which one you're talking about.
I don't know if you're aware of it. I don't know if you followed it, but I assumed you would. But it is wonderfully called Preachers and Sneakers.
Yes! I heard about this and I looked at it.
And so our topic today is, why can't Christians have nice things? Let's talk about that.
This is good. I like this one. You always bring the best surprise topics.
Right? This is where we're going today, is why can't Christians have nice things? Because as the Instagram account kind of describes
explain
itself.
Explain the Instagram account.
The Instagram account, it summarizes itself as bad and bougie, more like God and Gucci. The Lord works in mysterious colorways. Preachers and sneakers. Follow them on Instagram. They're worth your time. Here's what the deal is. It started a few weeks ago when the founder of this account, the guy who launched this account, started taking pictures of celebrity pastors.
Yep.
And he started noticing this trend where celebrity pastors from all over the country.
Yes.
Yeah. Of all different kinds of denominations, of all different kinds of movements and expressions and ages.
Yeah.
So we're not just talking like one small demographic of one particular movement, of one particular denomination. We're talking a high spectrum throughout the, and again, not just the evangelical church, but the charismatic church, definitely into the prosperity church movement, you know, anything like that. He started noticing that there was this trend of wearing ridiculously, obscenely overpriced sneakers. I'm going to look here and see if I can find the very, very first one. I think the first one that he grabbed was this guy. Rich Wilkerson Jr., Rich Wilkerson Jr. Now
he likes to dress nice.
This was modest. This was $357 for the sneakers that he was wearing, which definitely way above the amount I'm going to spend on a sneaker. I could see within reason someone going like, I want a super comfortable shoe, blah 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 blah. Yeah. But then it started to go up. So like the next one was Chad Veach, who was rocking a $655 sneaker. And then even hit up my man, Erwin McManus. I like Erwin.
I do too.
I have a lot of hype for Erwin. Like, I think he's pretty awesome. But Erwin was rocking himself something super fatty. And he doesn't have the price listed on that one. But Erwin made the list. Oh, Erwin made the list twice because the next time he caught a picture of him, he was wearing some Nike Airs that last sold for $1,000.
Now, I would say about Erwin McManus, he does live... He is in the L.A. area, right?
He is, yeah.
So there could be, and I remember...
And Erwin's always been trendy. Even as a person, he is an incredibly fashionable, trendy kind of guy. So,
and he could have been given those because Chad Veach, I think, responded to this Instagram account and said, because there was another time where Chad Veach was featured. And he said,
Chad Veach is actually featured a few times out here, yeah.
He said one time, like in one picture they posted, he was given all the stuff that he was wearing.
Yeah, so Chad here has a picture, unfortunately, where he is rocking a $1,200 pair of shoes, a $795 pair of pants, and a $2,000 Gucci travel bag. Now, here's the discussion that we have for this morning then, because and it does go up. The biggest offender by far is John Gray, Pastor John Gray, who was off rocking himself some beautiful bright red with Velcro strap across Nikes that bid. They're Eerie Yeezys, basically. Eerie Yeezy 2s.
Yeah.
That went for $5,000.
And he, you know, he bought his wife a Lamborghini.
So. He also bought his wife a Lamborghini. So John Gray might be the biggest offender on here.
I think he's on there twice.
David Clark has himself the double G Gucci belt. So basically, if you peruse the account, you will find various people, again, of all, you know, kind of all shapes and sizes, all different flavors of the Christian faith. Rocking some styling wear. And I guess here's my question. Is it okay?
Yeah.
Is it okay? Because there's a part of me, let me get scriptural. As okay. Two pastors, we'll try to do this in a non-preachy
yes.
kind of way.
Yes.
Nothing worse than two pastors preaching to each other. But here's my question. Because we know in the scriptures, Jesus had a moment where someone came while he was in the middle of dinner. He's there with a bunch of religious people and a couple of his disciples, right? Woman walks in, breaks open an incredibly expensive perfume, pours it all over his feet, starts washing his feet with her own hair. And I believe Judas
was one, yeah.
Was the one who voiced what I guess many probably were thinking there, which is, why wasn't this sold and given to the poor? Which, yeah. When I hear that, I don't hear Judas in his compassion or Judas in his deep concern. I hear Judas in his jealousy, wishing that either he was the one who owned the perfume or at least was getting the feet washed, right? Yes. Like it's jealous Judas, right? And so part of me goes on some types of these kind of things. I wonder if it's just simply, you know, people being a little jealous of the success or the materialism of somebody else. But it does lead us to the real question of, you know, should this be happening? Should Christians, but maybe specifically in this case, pastors, and we can address this one being both, I hope, Christians and pastors. One of two is not bad, I guess.
Yeah.
But no, it's both Christians and pastors. I feel like this is something that we can speak to specifically. Should we have nice things?
So I was talking to my wife about this. Because when I saw this account, I was talking with her about it. It's a hard question to answer. I think there's a black and white answer to it. I think the issue comes down to, it's not about necessarily having the nice things; it's the perception.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're a leader of a church, where your message is about, hopefully your message should be about the gospel, and part of the gospel is about, you know, taking up your cross. It's talking about suffering. It's talking about denying yourself. You know, that's a big part of the gospel. Like, you can't know Jesus without that aspect of it.
Right.
And you're up there rocking, you know, Gucci clothes, and you're rocking some Nikes that probably most people in your congregation can't afford, like can't even come close to affording. And I think there's a perception there that is a little bit off, and I don't think it's a good perception, and I think it creates a separation. I think this is the danger that is becoming prevalent in the American church, or maybe it's already been prevalent and it's just more coming to light now, where we put pastors on these pedestals, or pastors put themselves on these pedestals, and there's a separation there that, you know, I'm the pastor, you are the common people. I am, you know, God's chosen instrument. You will listen to what I say, and you cannot approach me. I'm unapproachable because if you do approach me, you need to go through my people first. And they're and with wearing these nicer things, I think it enhances that separation and contributes to that separation. And I think there is that very unapproachableness of pastors, and now you're seeing the dangers of it, where there's been celebrity pastors and megachurch pastors falling from grace because of that. And so I think that's the danger of it. You know, if you want to have, my wife and I have, like, if you walk into our home, you'll see some nice things. Like, we both have Mac computers, we both have iPhones and things like that. But like, as far as, you know, we go on nice vacations and things like that. But it's, we do that after discussing it, after saving for it, after putting specific money away and things like that. If we had a whole lot more money than what we have now, I mean, I'm sure we probably have some nicer things and things like that. But I guess my personality is like, I'm not going to, you know, go buy shoes that are $300, much less $5,000, because I just don't feel like that's necessarily the right thing to do as a leader of a church, as a pastor of a church, yeah. Because you become unrelatable at that point. You know, you become like almost this figurehead rather than a person.
Well, I think that's the problem, right? I think that part of the problem when you go down this road of a parent, and especially when your ministry is driven by fashion,
yeah,
right, or defined by fashion in some sense, I think that you become unrelatable to the point where it's almost on purpose. Mm. You're doing it because you're pointing out that you are somehow this next level up, right? And so I think what it does is it creates in your church, instead of having that sense of, you know, the pastor is someone who you have a relationship with, the pastor is someone you get to know, the pastor is someone who's invested deeply in your spiritual growth, invested in your spiritual success, and helping you ultimately follow the way of Jesus, it becomes more like that sense of the pastor is a celebrity. We know him. We want to go there so we can help. Like, maybe we can get near him, right? Like, maybe we can sit in the front row and see him better, see him closer, right? So I think it plays into that kind of cult of a personality. It plays into that sense of, you know, we have that human nature that sometimes just wants to rub shoulders with someone that we think is popular and cool, right? Like, we want to say that we've been there. We want to say that we've done it, right? Like, I follow a guy on YouTube who's a drummer, and he's a massive fan of Carter Beauford, who's the drummer for Dave Matthews Band.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. And so his walls are plastered with not only just, you know, Carter Beauford memorabilia, but stuff that he's gotten from the shows that he's gotten and seen, right? So he's got this pair of sticks that have been held by Carter. He's got he's got literally frames and frames and frames of his tickets so he's been there. So, like, I think we have this innate desire to prove that we've been with somebody.
Yeah.
That we're kind of like rubbing shoulders with someone cool. And I think the problem with that, rubbing shoulders with someone cool, is if they don't look and seem cool, no one wants to, right? We don't have that mechanism isn't released, that trigger isn't, that psychological trigger doesn't release. So I think for me, it seems almost like this is done intentionally, because it causes people to have that psychological response of, we're not actually sure we even care what he's saying. We just want to be in the same room with him to say that we were there.
Yeah, and here's a good example of I think how, if you are well off, how you should approach things, and just knowing your demographic and things is my father-in-law is a very successful businessman. You know, they have a beautiful log home in Southwest Wisconsin. They have an apartment on Lakeshore Avenue in Chicago. Mm-hmm. But if you met my in-laws, you would never know. If you did not know that about him, if you did not know that they had these places and ever saw their stuff, you would never guess, because he wears like loafers that are probably 10 years old, mm-hmm. that are just beat up and everything else. His shoes are always beat up and everything else, because he was a farmer and he doesn't really care about that stuff. Right. Now, if he has to go into a professional setting, yes, he's going to look nice, but he's going to get...
But even again, looking nice for him is he's going to have a nice suit that's been...
Probably from, like, Men's Warehouse or something like that.
Not, right, or even if it was tailored to, you know, kind of like nicely, it's still probably not this extravagance.
No,
and I feel like that's where the big problem that we run into with this is it's not just simply a question of, you know, can pastors or even Christians have nice things? It's this level of extravagance and luxury that we live in.
Yes.
Right?
And
it's this portrayal that we have luxury, and it's this portrayal that somehow, you know, we're the ones that are achieving it. You know, my deep concern with some of these, you know, kind of pastor celebrities, these celebrity pastor megachurch guys, is like, at what point does it become my vision, my leadership, my strategy has led to the success of my church? And it kind of removes... Christ becomes your mascot. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that goes on the logo.
Yeah.
You know, of your brand, but ultimately, we're kind of secretly going, this thing was all built here by this other person, right? Like, that's my concern, is that anytime you start getting into this flamboyant, you know, overflowing, overwhelming luxury mentality where I have to show off my best and bright, you know, brightest shoes and my coolest this and my niftiest that, you know, does it just sort of communicate this is actually all here because I built it?
I'm almost done with this book that I just picked up, and it's about lament and the absence of lament in really the American church. And it's written by a Korean pastor, and he says that the problem with the American church is that we are bringing in Americanized Christianity into, well, what happened was we moved out of the cities and into the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have people who are called to church plant to go into the cities. But what they're doing is they're taking their suburban lifestyle and their suburban ideas mm-hmm. into the inner city and thinking that's going to work. You know, he was talking about being at a global conference for pastors and church planting and things like that in South Africa. And it was led by North American or British white guys
mm-hmm.
with all their fancy gadgets and things like that. And he's like, there's a disconnect here, guys.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not connecting with people on their level. And, you know, we're bringing in our ideas, our mostly white American ideas, into these, you know, inner city places. And we're ignoring the churches that are already there that are doing the work in the inner city places.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it relates to what we're talking about here, because, you know, if you have a pastor who it's all about him, it's all about the clothes he's wearing, it's all about that status and that celebrity, you know, it's really idol worship is what it is.
Yeah.
If we're going to call it, we've got to call a spade, right? Then there's going to be this, basically your church is going to be a suburban church, an Americanized church, not the church of Christ, where Christ says, come and die. You know, suffering's a part of this. Take up your cross. Follow me. Not to say that, you know, I'm not saying this from a platform where I have it all figured out, because I think in my own church, we have Americanized things and Americanized ideas. And, you know, but I think if we continue to encourage and accept these types of churches and these types of teachings and leaders, then we're never going to get out. Then we're never going to change. You know, when you go to conferences and stuff, it's usually the celebrity guys that mm-hmm. come and are the speakers. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, but what about, you know, what about the small inner city church that's doing things, and their numbers may not be there, but the impact they're making is huge.
Yep.
Like, I want to hear from that guy.
Yeah.
You know, I want to hear what he's doing, and or she's doing, or whoever's doing. I want to hear what they're doing, so that, you know, it's more inspiring that way, rather than here's the, you know, I always see this on Facebook, like this ad, and I don't even remember what the guy's name is, but, you know, our church went from 40 to 400. Sign up now to find out. And I'm like, do we really need that? Like,
right.
Is that the answer? You know, it's again, where I think it comes down to this corporate idea of, and when I say corporate, I mean just like mass produced followers of Jesus.
Well, this has always been one of the big tensions in churches, right? Is like, the, you know, what is the numbers game?
Yeah.
Right. What makes a successful church? Is it the amount of people who attend? Is it the amount of money that you raise? Is it the, you know, amount of building space that you can afford to buy? Right. Like, this has always been one of those big discussions for, you know, I mean, probably a few hundred years is my guess, right? Because I think there's always been a question of like, whose ministry is more successful, who's better at this, who's better at that. But especially in the you know, the 1900s, when we got into, you know, kind of more of the Americanized, Westernized business model starts influencing the church's model kind of era, you know, this became a relevant thing, right? It became less about pastoral calling and more about leadership development, right? Churches became less about, you know, incarnating the mission of Jesus in their local community, a parish mentality, frankly, and it became about developing a vision and mission and strategy that's going to reach a demographic, right? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it became more and more, you know, corporate, for lack of a better word. And I think the more corporate a church becomes, the more that sense of brand and image become essential to their existence. And that's where I would actually say my greatest concern is that it's not even that there's a pastor out there who says, hey, I love shoes and I love shoes so much I'm willing to save up, work hard, save up, and then go, you know, spend $5,000 on a pair of shoes that I just absolutely love. Because there's a part of me that goes, hey man, if you've worked hard for them, you know, if this is your deep passion, right? Because part of this has to be with the fact it's over shoes, right? Like that's where you and I sit back and go like, dear God, what a waste of money. It's shoes, you know? Yeah. But frankly, like if someone were to be like, you know, if I were talking to a friend of mine and someone said, oh, I spent $5,000 on this handcrafted guitar. It's made of these, you know, exotic woods and it's got this beautiful layout and design and it's built by hand and it took them, you know, 3 years to do it. I would totally value that guitar for what it is.
Yeah.
Right. I don't value shoes on any level. And so I have zero interest in anyone. So there's this part of me goes like, I don't want to just simply judge it from that perspective. Right. Like if this is your deep, deep passion and you're willing to work hard, save, and this is how you want to spend it, go for it. But I worry that that's not how the deal is. My worry is that this is basically a Christian version of endorsement.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So like, it's like every artist who starts to make it big, right? They don't, you know, I work with a lot of musicians and a lot of them are session people. A lot of them are regular working musicians.
Yeah.
A lot of them have good gear, but they didn't start with good gear.
No.
And they don't have quote unquote the best gear, depending on how you want to define that, right? They have the gear that works best for them. Right. But a lot of times you'll see like, you know, these people who are, you know, kind of like starting small and they're, you know, sitting on their YouTube channel or they make it on their first, you know, competition show. And they're playing with like really basic, affordable, same kind of gear everybody else has. And then they get their first contract and they come out for their first concert now with their endorsements and their record deal. And they've got something that's, they've got an instrument that's way beyond both their buying capability and probably even their playing capability, right? Because it's endorsed. It's given to them by a company to promote that company to the audience that they're going to reach because they know that if they can get that product in the hand of that celebrity has a higher reach than they possibly will. Mm. And I feel like that's what we're running into is the corporate church, which is what I think a lot of times celebrity pastors are.
Yeah.
They are CEOs of their corporate church. And these kind of things become endorsements from other organizations, right? So I don't doubt Chad Veach when he says, hey, this stuff was given to me. My question is, who gave it to you and why? And if it was just someone in your church who wanted to bless you, God bless them for blessing you because I have received so many good things from people in my church who simply wanted to bless me for what the, you know, for either the sacrifices that my family and I were making or the service that we've done. So like I've been given beautiful things and I cherish them. I hold on to them and I love them because it reminds me of these specific moments. So if that's what happened, great. My concern and my question would be, for so many of these people, is this more like a corporate sponsorship thing where someone comes in and says, hey, you know, we'll get you these shoes if you preach on them with them this Sunday, or we'll help you build that basketball court in the middle of your stage as long as you don't mind us throwing up a few stickers on the poles. You know what I mean? And that's the point where it's like, you know, we've always joked in our churches, you know, my family and our church planters, we're in a church plant right now. Which is 4 years old, so and it's doing really well. But we've always had a little bit of joke that church plants are, you know, they should just go get immediate sponsorships from like IKEA, Amazon, Google.
That's true.
Pier One, you know, places that are like, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, Home Goods. And we've always joked that at some point someone's going to just catch on, and every church planter is going to be issued their NASCAR style jacket.
Yes.
Right, that you could just simply go get your corporate sponsorships. You know, hey, all the chairs this morning provided by, you know, this company, and boom, they just pop a label right onto your shirt. You know, all the tables have been provided by IKEA. All the, you know, the decorations are provided by Home Goods. Boom, 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 labels. It's a good joke. I fear it's becoming reality in a lot of different churches.
Yeah.
The difference being that, at least in those kind of situations, it's obvious.
Yeah.
In these other situations, I feel like it's not, and that's what makes it dangerous. Is I feel like it, instead of someone like Chad Veach getting up and saying, "Hey, this morning I'm wearing shoes I could not afford to wear," mm-hmm. and through the graciousness of someone of our community, I've been blessed this way. Instead of saying that, they're just worn, and lots of that kind of stuff is worn and presented and Instagrammed because he's also quite active on Instagram.
Yeah.
And it becomes fashionista pastor, who everybody now starts going, instead of following him like he follows Jesus, they follow him like he follows a Kardashian, yes, or he follows some other Instagram celebrity, or he follows some other music, you know, person, right? Like, we're not following Chad Veach, disciple of Jesus. We're following Chad Veach Yeezy wear.
Yeah.
And that's my greatest concern. And it's something where, you know, I constantly have to check myself, because I have gear. Again, I'm a musician. I've got good gear. I have to be careful that I'm not promoting something in a way that says, hey, you know, you want the Holy Spirit to flow better in your service? Use this guitar pedal, right? Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, we have to be careful of that. And I'm always very, very, I try to be very mindful of that, because I don't want to ever come across the idea that, number one, the stuff I have is stuff I have worked hard for, I have saved up for, you know, or it was given to me, you know? And I'm usually really up for, like, dude, I could never afford this. Or, you know, this became available because of this other opportunity. So, I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at with it.
Yeah, I mean, I play guitar at my church, you know, sometimes, and I have a Taylor
guitar. Well, it's a lefty guitar.
It's the true way to play. I have a Taylor, and, you know, you could look at that and say, wow, the pastor with a Taylor guitar. I bought that, let's see, it was in 2002.
Yeah.
And it was money that I saved from working. It was before I was even really into ministry at all. It was just money I saved from working, and it's a low end Taylor. It's not like, you know, it was like $1,400, and my mom helped me out with a little bit of it, and I saved like $1,000 of it or whatever, $1,200, and she gave me like $200. But yeah, I think you're right with the, I think the problem is we're creating these idols to follow, and these, you know, they're becoming these influencers, and not for Jesus, but for other things, but for fashion and things like that. And it's like, I understand that you have to, you know, clothes do matter at times, you know, you have to, you know, dress in such a way where you're going to be relatable to your audience.
Yep.
You know, obviously, like, I remember when I first got to my church, they wanted me to wear a suit and tie every Sunday, and it was summer and we don't have air conditioner. It's so hot.
Yeah.
And they wanted me to come in because I'm young, because I was like 26 at the time,
yep,
or something like that, 27. They wanted me to attract a younger audience. I'm thinking, I'm not going to with a suit and tie.
Especially not on a hot July day in a non-air-conditioned room. Like no one else is going to be walking to that building in a suit and tie. Yeah.
So I just, like, I'm not going to do that with a suit and tie, you know, because I'm not wearing that on a daily basis. And then, you know, if I do invite somebody and they come in and I'm wearing a suit and tie, they're going to be like, what the heck happened? It's like this bait and switch all of a sudden. So I get that clothes matter in that sense.
Yeah.
And you don't want to look like a slob either on the other side. But you also don't want to dress in such a way where probably 90% or higher, more likely higher, of your audience is not cannot afford what you're wearing.
Yeah.
If you are giving it, like Chad, if you're giving that stuff, okay, wear it somewhere else other than church. You know?
Yeah.
That's the thing. You're coming, you're the leader of that church, the shepherd of those people. And the thing is, like, you watch Jesus and how he shepherded people, right? And, like, the feeding of the 5,000, right? They came to Jesus, and he had compassion on them because he said they're sheep without a shepherd.
Right.
And Jesus and the disciples had not eaten. They were tired. The disciples were like, Jesus, send these guys away, you know, because they're tired. They're like, I don't want to do any more ministry because they've been doing it all day. But Jesus said, no, you feed them. You know, because he just was like, it's not about me. It's not about us.
Yep.
It's not about our comfort. It's not about our needs right now. It's about them, because they're sheep without a shepherd. And I think we need to have that mentality as pastors and leaders. And we need to see, like, these are sheep that God has said, you take care of them. Because if you study the role of a shepherd in ancient Israel, because that's where, you know, that's where the scriptures were written from, you know, ancient Israel in that context.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you read it from that context, shepherds did not have, like, a lot of time off. They were with the sheep all the time. They would, you know, the gates for the pens of the sheep, there was no gate there. The shepherd was the gate. That's why Jesus says, I am the gate.
Yeah.
You know, and the shepherd would sit, like, lay in the gate. And if anything came, like a wolf or any predator came, the shepherd was the defense.
Yeah.
He would fight them off. And so it was not about the shepherd's comfort. It was about taking care of those sheep. That was his main priority.
I think you're right on there. We'll wrap up with that thought then, because I think you're exactly right. I think a lot of this has to do with the motivation of why you have it and then how you present, you know, what you present with it. And then what is your purpose for wearing it? You know, if it's not about the people you're trying to minister to, then I feel like you've missed the point.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's my, you know, my overall caution here, my overall concern is that for each person that you're quote unquote winning, you know, by wearing that shoe or playing that kind of guitar or doing this, right? Like for each person that you're attracting, you're probably also equally hacking someone off who says, hey, you are reinforcing my stereotype of every prosperity gospel pastor I've ever been burned by, right? And so, you know, I think that as pastors, we have to be really aware, like, you know, I don't think necessarily that to be a pastor means that you need to, you know, go move into a cave, live in destitution and you know, poverty and never have nice things. I do think, though, that we have to be really careful how we present that stuff.
Yeah.
I think we have to be really aware that culturally, you know, people are not on our side. Culturally, the church has a track record and a history of abusing its position, both in politic and society, but also financially for sure.
Yeah.
Right. And so, definitely, you know, the idea that pastors, and especially since pastors tend to be figureheads of their churches, whether you want to argue that's right or wrong is a different discussion. Right. But since pastors tend to be figureheads of their churches, when a church has a financial scandal or a financial failing, they tend to be the one most associated with it, even on ones where they weren't actually at fault. Right. But they're still supposed to. Again, CEO should know what's going on in his team or in her team. So I feel like in this case, you know, pastors need to be aware that, you know, the society is already not in their favor, that we are, our whole goal as a pastor is to win hearts and to win people over with the grace and love of Christ. And I feel like that's where, you know, if those shoes open a door, great. But if they close more doors than they open and people are more skeptical of you because they associate you with a stereotype. And so wearing these things are more about your ego and your own self-esteem than the actual people that you're reaching with the gospel, then it might be time to rethink that. So, last thoughts, closing thoughts.
No, I agree. I just think that we need to, use more discernment, be more careful, because perception, especially nowadays, is everything.
That's a fantastic way to put it. So, we're going to wrap that up today then. Go follow Preachers in Sneakers if you just want a good laugh at some people wearing just some ridiculously overpriced shoes. At the same time, mention us on Facebook and we'll try to talk to you there. For Ryan, I'm Travis, and we'll talk to you next week.
See ya.